All right, class, welcome to another session of getting ready for the Civil War test. We'll go over the study guide real quick. So looking at the first word, define Civil War. It's a pretty simple thing. A Civil War simply is just a war fought between people of the same country or same region. So in this particular case, looking at the American Civil War, you had essentially two regions fighting one another. You had people from the north and people from the south fighting. Also known as the Union and Confederacy. What impact did the American Civil War have on families? Quite simply, the American Civil War, its impact ranged simply down to it ripped families apart. Of course, families lost loved ones, but it really did. It wasn't always necessarily a war fought over, you know, from a particular region. It was a war of ideals as well. The idea of states' rights, preserving the Union, these are all ideas. And so that's what caused families to actually be drawn apart. Looking at the second question, describe what camp and prison life was like for soldiers. Thinking about camp life, it was pretty monotonous in terms of what they focused on was like training. They marched a lot. But also they played around a lot too. But at camp, just because people were living together so tightly, things like diseases, other ailments spread. In prison, it was pretty much just, it was multiplied in terms of how bad it was. And this kind of relates to Andersonville, the prison camp. Andersonville was the most notorious Civil War prison camp for soldiers during the American Civil War. It was a Confederate prison down in Andersonville, Georgia. I think over the course of its history, 13,000 Union troops went through there. On average, 100 of them were dying a day because of the bad conditions. If you remember, the South had a shortage of food. They had a low food supply, and that really it wasn't necessarily bad feelings towards the Union soldiers. It's just they didn't have enough food, so basically you had Union soldiers starving to death. So think of prison life so much worse. You know, the latrines and the water supply would be put way too close together, so when it rained, you would have sort of this the sewage water combined with the drinking water, and people get sick from that. You had rancid cornbread. People were dying of diarrhea, influenza. Scurvy was rampant among the Civil War prisons. If you don't know what scurvy is, it's when your skin turns a yellowish-orange color because of lack of vitamin C. Your bones, your gums weaken and your teeth fall out. Your bones and muscles tighten up, and you can barely move. It's like you're a walking stick. Who were the leading generals for the Confederacy during the American Civil War? The leading generals for the Confederacy, the top one was General Robert E. Lee from Virginia. He was pretty much the mastermind, the leading military mind of the United States of that time. His close counterpart was a general named Thomas Stonewall Jackson. He actually died in combat during the Civil War, but he was noted for his bravery. In terms of the president of the South, the Confederacy was Jefferson Davis. And their capital, of course, was in Richmond, Virginia, which is where he was stationed. Who were the leading generals for the Union during the Civil War? The top two leading generals. Leadership shifted hands a lot, but in terms of the end of the war, the generals that are sort of noted for the Union victory, the two top ones were General Ulysses S. Grant, who later became the President of the United States after the Civil War, and another general named William Tecumseh Sherman, and you will know him best from Sherman's March to the Sea, which is the court case we're going to be doing this coming Wednesday. The president, of course, Honest Abraham Lincoln, 16th President of the United States, and he was shot shortly after the Union won the Civil War. Define the Emancipation Proclamation. This was the law issued by President Lincoln. He wrote it, and it was issued on January 1st, 1863. What the Emancipation Proclamation did was it freed all Southern states, freed all Southern slaves in the South. However, it did not end slavery in the border states. Slavery in the border states would not quite end until a few years after the American Civil War. The main reason besides freeing the slaves was also European countries were big opponents of slavery, and this actually encouraged countries like France and England to their side. Describe the arguments for and against using African-American soldiers for the Union. In regards to arguments for, some, depending upon who you read, some Congress people at that time with this whole, you know, whether or not African-Americans should fight or not, it came down to one person said, you know, it was their duty. White people are dying, so therefore African-Americans should sort of suffer for the black cause as well. Another people say, you know, they've earned it. You know, this is their war. You know, a little more uplifting kind of argument for it. You know, this is their war. They deserve to be able to fight and sacrifice for their country. In terms of reasons against, I believe the guy was John Crittenden from Kentucky. He did not like the idea of African Americans fighting for the war. He saw it sort of as a white cause. He thought black soldiers were inferior to white soldiers. So he did not agree with this particular sentiment, this idea. And what is significant about the Massachusetts 54th? Of course, they were the first all-African-American regiment. They were the regiment that was portrayed in the movie Glory. So, first all-African-American regiment ever in the U.S. military. What is significant about Bull Run? You guys, from my understanding, you were to read a short little novel about Bull Run. In terms of its significance, it has several significant points. The first one is, it was obviously the first battle fought during the Civil War. And many people believe this was going to be the only actual battle of the Civil War, that this battle was going to determine the outcome, whether the South was able to secede or not. However, the South, the Confederacy, won. The Union, both sides suffered some pretty severe losses. And what this battle pretty much alluded to was that this war wasn't going to be fought or won over one or two victories. It was going to be long, it was going to be drawn out, it was going to be bloody. So that's what is significant about Bull Run. What were the three causes Lee gave for moving the war to the North? The first one deals with Lee wanting to go to a place like Gettysburg, and his goal was to demoralize Northerners, to bring the face of war to them and let them know the cruelties of war and make them want to essentially give up. So by demoralizing the Northerners, he was hoping that they would want to just quit the war. The second cause was the Confederate Army's or Southern Army's lack of supplies. They were low on supplies. They were not as well as equipped as the Union to fight this war. So he wanted to try to end the war as quickly as possible in this big, huge battle. A huge, big victory in the North. So that's another reason why. And the third reason why is he thought that by having a strong Confederate victory in the North against the Union Army, that this would impress European countries such as England and France to want to side and become allies with the Confederacy. So these are the three reasons why Lee took the war to the North, shifted the war to the North. What is the significance of Gettysburg? Quite simply, Gettysburg was, many historians consider it, the turning point of the Civil War. The Confederacy up until that point was winning most of the battles. However, after Gettysburg, when the Union beat the Confederacy at Gettysburg, what you saw here was sort of a domino effect of Union victories. Rather than demoralizing Northerners with this attack, this Confederate loss seemingly demoralized Southerners. So that's sort of the significance. It's the turning point. Define total war. Total war, another name is psychological warfare. It's an all-out war where it blurs the line between combatant and non-combatant. In total war, you don't just target military targets. You focus your attacks on civilian areas, factories, government buildings, and with the purpose of intimidating the civilians of the enemy, to make them fear the fear the opposing side, and make them want to give up. So that's total war, and Sherman actually introduced this concept of total war in his March to the Sea, where he basically ransacked the southern long stretch of the South, burning everything in its path, destroying all towns and major villages in this path, foraging, taking from local farms and communities whatever they could in order to keep this campaign alive. So the significance with the March to the Sea is the fact that he really introduced first time total war to the United States military. What was the goal with this? You know, Sherman was fully able to realize that war was a cruel, cruel monster, and he did not appreciate it. So his goal by utilizing total war was to end the war as quickly as possible. And his belief was that by fighting this all-out blitz of a type of warfare, this total, using total warfare tactics, it would end the war actually faster and end up saving more lives in the long run. So that's what his goal was, to end the war quickly. In regards to women, we made a list. Women took on countless roles, whether they were factory workers making ammunition and clothing, textiles, whether they were taking over the farms because their husbands were off fighting. Women became teachers, nurses. Women disguised themselves as soldiers in order to help try to participate in the war. They took care of the sick and ailing. They sat around and sewed uniforms and clothes. They made shoes. They took over the economic sector. They ran businesses. You name it. Whatever job that men typically had prior to the war, women were able to successfully take over and complete themselves. What were the causes of the bread riots? This refers to the economic situation of the South during the American Civil War. As you can recall, you have extreme inflation. Prices of things are going up, skyrocketing. You know, the price of boots, for instance, goes from $18, and 2 years later they cost $800. You know, no money's coming into the South. They can't trade because of the naval blockade around the Confederacy, or the Union naval blockade. There's a short food supply. So you have essentially these Southerners in places like Richmond and other major cities starving to death. So in Richmond in 1863, a bunch of women and children combined or got together, organized, went through the market, and basically took whatever food they could. And it actually proved to be a relatively successful riot, because after that, seeing the discontent among his citizens, Jefferson Davis decided to offer rations of rice to the poor and to anybody wanting of food. Now, the New York draft riots. With the draft riots, with the military draft, basically all adults names were thrown in. All right, if you were between the ages of 18 to even as high as 45 years old, your name was thrown into a raffle bin. Your name could have been plucked out, and you had to basically serve the military. The only exception, of course, being that if you could pay $300, you got out of the draft. Somebody had you were able to purchase a replacement soldier. This favored the rich, and of course, it disfavored the poor, specifically the poor immigrants in large urban areas. So in New York City, these immigrants, like Irish, Polish, German, organized together to resist and fight against the military draft. Now, these rioters saw the military draft as sort of, or just the war itself, as sort of a symbol for the rising African American power and prestige in the United States. So rather than just focusing on anything associated with the U.S. military or the U.S. government, these rioters start focusing their attention on African Americans who were living in New York City at that time. So they tortured them, they beat them, they killed them, they hung them, they burned them. All these cruel, terrible things took place during the course of the draft riots. And of course, eventually the Union Army was able to quell the rioters and subdue them. But this, both the Bread Riots and the New York draft riots, indicate sort of this resentment among certain pockets of citizens against the American war. Not everybody was gung-ho and willing to fight this war, and that's what these two incidences indicate. The last point basically talks about know the locations of Union, border, and Confederate states. Make sure there will be a map on the test. You will have to label the different states and regions of the United States during the American Civil War. So you will have to label what parts Union, what parts border, what parts Confederate. You also have to label different states from each region. So make sure you're aware of this. Make sure you know that map. And good luck studying. Please take it seriously, and I will see you on Tuesday.